that are 33, 34, and 35.
All right, welcome everybody to episode 36 of our Dice Haven Actual Play podcast, and I'm Mason, the GM for this game.
And I'm Stan. I play Jadis, a warrior priest.
I'm Bailey. I play Tassan Nar, a human computer specialist.
I'm John, and I play Captain Admiral Amasorian Kane, a retired naval commander.
I'm Chris. I play Ruben Glazer, the Harkoon engineer.
Hello!
And this is Jeff. I play Ta'ari, a Hatal warrior.
There was a nice
now, potential psionic.
Ooh.
That's right.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. So, hey, as always, if you want to know more about our content, check us out at patreon.com/Dicehaven. You learn more about the show, access our bonus content, and you can even follow us on Instagram at Dicehaven Podcast. And we got a brand new backer on Patreon, so thanks to Andrew for joining the team. Welcome aboard. And if you're listening to this as they get released, I believe this is now Happy Halloween season.
Yep.
So.
Oh, oh. That sounds more like Santa Claus, I swear.
Happy Halloween!
Ho, 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 eat your candy.
What would be a Happy Halloween character you could imitate?
I don't know. Casper?
The Great Pumpkin.
I don't know what the Great Pumpkin sounded like, though.
I mean, you never hear it.
It never existed.
Yeah, you never see it.
Yeah. And I guess if you did hear him, you just would have been, wah, 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 wah.
Let's have a moment of silence for the Great Pumpkin.
Moment of silence.
Wait, did he die?
No, you could never see him or hear him.
Yeah, so we don't know if he's dead or alive.
Like Santa Claus, we can never see him, so we can't truly disprove him.
Is it really a moment of silence for Linus's love life? I mean, like, ruined his chances with Charlie Brown's sister. She got all mad and bitter.
He pretty much did.
He did, I'm just saying.
Cool, so last time we were in Jump and we went through the process of testing out everyone's new strange physical things going on, and everyone kind of figured out they've got some new ability, except for Tassan, I believe, because he did not, I think, recall saying lean into it.
That's correct.
And that you were out, you were unconscious for 3 days. That took at least a day. So you've got maybe about 2 days left in Jump. Okay. And that's when Buzz wakes up. Because remember, he was unconscious and he never woke up.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
He was having a much harder time, you know, running a fever and all that stuff. But that's when he wakes up.
I don't have him covered over the face. He's just normal.
Oh, I think you guys had him in his quarters.
You play favorites.
And right. I figure he does make my food, so. You know. Yeah, it makes the nuggets, so.
So I'm sure some people might.
Paycheck.
Some people true. Might be in the bridge. Some people might be in the kind of common area. Would you guys be at kind of an average day?
Oh, wait. So before we do that, so we ended last episode kind of like right before bedtime. It was kind of the end of the day, right? Mm-hmm. And I gave Ta'ari the thing that said he owed me 6,000 credits.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So that night before we go to bed, you know, I'm sitting in my bunk. Actually, I have a hammock, and, you know, Admiral Kane's below me. And Tassan says, hey, Admiral Kane, here. And he transfers Admiral Kane 6,000 credits. And he goes, Admiral Kane, I don't know why, but just Ta'ari said he had to pay me 6,000 for the medical expenses, so you might want to explain to him how that works. So, anyway, it was weird, and I was like, what are you doing? And he's all like, rawr. And I was like, okay, well, all right. So, anyway, just here's 6,000 credits. Give it back to him, okay? You might want to explain how that works. Dude, don't have to pay me. You know, it's not that kind of thing.
Okay. Right. Okay, that's strange. Maybe culturally, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It was a cultural thing. So yeah. So anyway. So you probably want to have a conversation about that and set him straight.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do it in the morning.
That okay. Great. Good. Great. And out of note, the tablet I handed him with the bill, it erased itself. So.
Of course. It did.
Of course it did.
Hey, I'm gonna hit the silencer. Is that okay?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's fine. I have my sleep inducer, so that way. Yeah.
So the proverbial sun will go down and come up for the next day.
Ooh, that's awesome. And it's cool the jump is like that.
Yeah, there's a little jump sun that goes around.
Around the ship.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. It's smart thinking.
Yeah. Just so you keep up with time. Anyway, so the next day rolls around, and everyone, you're about your duties. Roughly midday, who would be in, like, the common area, do you think?
Does Tarvi eat lunch there around midday?
Yeah, I mean, sure. When the ship's in jump, there's no threat because it's, like, in its own bubble, so I would not be on guard. This is probably the one time I feel perfectly safe, actually. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'd be hanging out.
So I'd just tell Tari, if he's got some time, maybe have some lunch with him. We can sit down and kind of talk about how things are going and the ship and everything, and if he's got a few minutes.
Oh, sure. Cool. Of course, King Captain.
So, Tari, how's the time on the ship going?
It is fine. This one is finding it different and enjoyable.
Well, I'm glad. Anything with the Pat or anything with Daxon or anything makes you seem concerned, or does everything look okay?
Daxon seemed to prove herself in combat appropriately, and has not done anything other than the strange alien artifact to warrant distrust.
Which has somehow modified all of us. Yes. So, in your culture, in your society, when you travel aboard ships, is it customary to pay for services on a case-by-case basis?
This one is not aware of that. Did this one miss some payment of services that is a human custom, perhaps?
No. As a member of the crew, you're entitled to all services, the food, your place of your bed, the place where you rest, the access to the library, any medical supplies, medical work that's done by any crew member. And Tassan mentioned to me that you had paid him for medical services, so I want to make sure we gave this back to you and you got it in your check. So I just see I could scan my stick here to give you the 6,000 credits.
So I'll look very confused and hand my credit stick out, or pad, or whatever it is.
I give you the 6,000 credits. So just no big deal. Just, don't have to pay for that stuff, and it's all included. Consider it like an all-included cruise, kind of cool.
Okay, well, this one will make sure to keep that in mind. He has a very puzzled expression on his face.
Cool, that sounds great. Hey, and thank you again for all the great work you've been doing. And you have fun, sir. I'm going to head back to the bridge.
Thank you.
So I head up to the bridge.
So about the time you're finishing up that conversation is when coming into the common area, which is also where is attached to the kitchen, Buzz strolls in. And he's got a piece of tape hanging off his arm where he pulled the IV out.
Oh, crap. I immediately run over Buzz. Are you okay?
All right, Captain. I'm feeling okay. I just, a little bit... how long have I been sleeping here? I feel pretty well rested.
Did Tassan let you out of the med bay?
No, I think you guys moved him out of character to his room, right? So he could...
No, I think he would have been in... He would have been in the med bay. If he was unconscious, okay. He would have been in the med bay. So, yeah.
Okay. No, I just woke up and this little IV bag was in me there, and I thought, well, why am I doing the IV bag? No one's in here, so I'm going to get up and I'm going
to... Why don't we walk back to the med bay?
I feel fine to me. I'm fine, Captain.
I understand. Tassan, can you meet us in the med bay real quick just to check out? Looks like Buzz is awake.
Oh, sure. Buzz is
okay,
awake.
Okay, I'm fine. Nothing wrong with me.
No, just give us a minute. I feel a bit wobbly, though.
Got them knocking you.
See how you're doing.
Okay, I'm doing okay. I'm missing my gumbo.
Oh, yep.
We've been eating the little squares, the reheatable squares are not as good. Tastes like cardboard. Let's just get you checked out, make sure everything's okay. Let's just run some quick tests, make sure you're fine, then we'll get you back to light duty.
All right. I had the strangest dreams, though. Strangest dreams.
Like what? I'm walking to the med bay.
I just remember it was kind of scary. I don't remember much else other than just scary dreams. You know how dreams are. You forget them as soon as you wake up. There's some other presence, some other place. This strange place, but I knew the place. Like I've been there before.
Was it like someone was in a costume suit chasing you around the building and you were scared when they catch you and you realize it's another person that's inside the suit, like a cosplay outfit?
No, that's just, I just call that a Tuesday.
Okay, well, that's good.
Back home, it's just Tuesday. But no, I don't remember that. I just remember some other place is what it felt like. I was there, not here. Now I'm back here, because obviously it's just one of them weird dreams. Nothing to it.
Well, that's good. Hey, so Tassan, you want to check him out?
Yeah, yeah. If he'll let me, I'll do a full medical workup on him, and you know.
Sure thing. I'll sit down and check me up.
All right. I said, you want some protein squares? I can go heat some up for you in the microwave.
I ain't mighty hungry. Sure, okay. I'll take protein square. If Doc's okay with eating meat protein square, but he does test on you.
Well, let's run the test first, and then we'll eat the protein square. Let's just get a baseline.
I'll be back.
All right, that's fine with me. Sorry.
All right. So I'll run him through, you know, all the medical tests and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So you run through the test, and you know, you got at this point you've done the whole crew, so you got it very pinpointed down. And he's got the similar kind of markers that you guys had.
Okay. All right. So when Captain Kane comes back, or I'm sure it takes a while, probably takes a couple hours. after well, Buzz
I come
leaves,
back in like 15 okay. minutes with the protein squares.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll tell.
You can burn this one. Sorry.
You got to be careful with those things.
Well, I didn't know how to operate the steward equipment. I don't have steward skill.
How do you burn a protein bar, Captain? You don't even have to cook a protein bar. You just put it in the microwave for like 30 seconds.
I set it for maximum, and that's good for the engines, but apparently not good for the protein squares.
No, my grandmother's gravy is just going to ruin a protein bar like that. That's
so,
right. You tried. He gives you a pat on the shoulder.
So, Tassan will tell Buzz. Buzz, just be really careful if you do anything strenuous. We've had some weird effects after we all passed out, so you have the same marker, so just be careful when you do anything strenuous.
He has the marker for psionics?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, what?
Buzz, you may have psionics. We somehow, while we the device affected all of us, and we have a marker for psionic ability, and we each seem to manifested something.
And this whole time you start, as soon as you say psionics, he's been staring very intently, not at either of you. And if you follow his gaze, he's staring at, like, there's a syringe on the table, and he's...
I think he needs to go to the restroom.
Well, I guess I don't have telekinesis. I was hoping I could move that syringe.
I thought you were going to blow something.
It's not working. Well, I might have blown something if I kept trying, but it's not going to work. I'll try again later.
That's how you get hemorrhoids.
Yeah, exactly. You can get all plumped up there.
Oh, I fixed those while you were out. So
how do I find out what my magic powers are? And then he jumps off the table and just collapses on the ground. Oh, it's not flat either.
All right, Tassan, I'll leave this to you for the time
being. Okay.
I'm going to back to the bridge.
Just tell me if you have any weird effects and stop trying crazy stuff. It'll come to you.
All right. Well, how'd it come to you?
I haven't really messed with mine yet, so I've been busy testing the other guys for theirs, and so I haven't really tested mine yet. I don't know what I don't. I may not even have it. I don't know.
See that there syringe? Concentrate
yep.
real hard.
No, I gotta go work on the computer, Buzz. So I'm good.
I'm going to go in the kitchen. I need to cook something. I'm hungry.
Okay.
And then he throws the protein bar that was burnt into the trash.
I don't blame you on that.
Captain's good at a lot of things. Cooking apparently ain't one of them.
Psionic cooking ability.
Don't ask me to fly the ship. That'd be disastrous.
Steward minus three.
So Buzz will make his way into the kitchen. And as far as you guys observing him, he seems... normal, you know, seems fine, walking okay. Same markers in the test show up, so he doesn't seem to, despite having gone through whatever the process was, a more extreme version of it, he seems to be no worse for the wear.
All right.
So unless you guys have something else you want to do in the jump here, we'll hop out of jump.
I don't want to spend too much time, but I am going to approach Tassan and be like, this one is really confused. I didn't want to say it to Kane Captain, but you charged me for medical services.
Right.
Then told Kane Captain that I didn't need to pay, and then he gave me the money back. Is this some strange human custom, or is it just you being very odd?
Yeah, it's probably, it's just a little human joke.
Ah, it was a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. Ha!
Ha ha.
A good one.
This one struggles to see human humor, but
well, you're gonna be around a lot of humans, us carrying passengers, so I figure, you know, trying to work you into that, right?
Yeah, this one understands.
Yeah.
I'm sure this one will get it eventually.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Think about it for days. It'll someday what will happen is you'll just be sitting there, and then you'll just start laughing because you'll see how funny it was.
Oh, this one will think about that and look forward to that.
Okay.
I look really confused. My ears are laid back.
Dasan is too. Hey, Mason. Dasan will take all the medical data that he's collected on everybody, and except for himself, and save it to one of his data disks.
Okay.
And then I'll put that in my personal safe.
Okay. Nice. And where is your personal safe at exactly, in case I want to steal it? I mean, in case, you know, it matters.
It's small, so it's like in our. I'm sure it's in our room.
Oh yeah.
Isn't it the cod piece of the suit of armor?
That is a safe place because nobody's ever been there.
Hey, Tassan, this is just Jeff asking. Is it off the main computer banks and onto your thing,
yeah, it's like a copy? I've made a copy on the personal jump drive.
Okay.
Yeah, because the stuff that he collected initially just would have been on whatever system the medical bay is hooked up to, right? Because the medical bay would have its own processing system tied into the main ship.
Yeah. So okay. I have 10 data wafers, and I've made a copy of all the medical information and put it in my safe.
Okay, cool.
And I'm sure that there's ample room left on that data wafer, because at this point in future, they even say, like, there's really no limit to...
Like, limitless
storage space, yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly, so...
Nice. Cool. So now I'm wondering, can we just stretch out 2 full hour episodes in this one jump? Or...
No, it just sounds good. Sounds good.
Okay. All right. So you guys come out of your jump and enter into Certilob. You come in, and who's normally on the bridge when you exit jumps? Because you know it's coming.
I would be at the gunner.
Stations. Yeah. Here's the gunner port. Ruben's in engineering. Jadis is with me. He's piloting. I'm sitting on the comms and scanners. And Jason, what are you doing?
I would assume sensors. I mean, I have
good. That's fine. That's perfect. Yeah. I'll take comms then.
Okay, so you're all on the bridge then. Sounds like, except for Ruben, I guess you're in engineering, or you do that from the bridge too.
We probably have there in engineering, wherever the engine mechanisms are.
Gotcha.
Yeah, to put a wiener in the warp drive, he's got to be back there.
Yeah, he can operate engineering from the bridge, but if he had to fix something manually, you would definitely have to go back to the bridge.
Yeah.
Hey, you're like Scotty, right?
Yeah. You can operate in either spot. So, yeah. Right before you guys get out, Tassan, you start to hear more noise, like white noise in the background. And then there's almost this faint, it's like a ticking, and it's rhythmic. And then the ticking slowly becomes, and you hear 3, 2, 1, and pat, you're out of jump.
Hmm.
And you're in Certilob. And when that's happening, you get a little bit of a headache there, and then it fades away.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
And now you're in Certilob. You get in there. Is Jackson allowed on the bridge, or do you want her somewhere else?
Actually, yeah, we'll have her on the bridge. We need her to tell us where we're going next, because that was part of the deal. We'd get her to this point, and she'd tell us where we need to take her.
Right, so you guys get into system, and within like 2 minutes, you get a hail.
Okay.
Directly to your ship.
Yeah, I put it on comm. Yeah, this is Captain Kane. How can I help you?
And it comes in, and it's the kind of hail that's just like a text. It's like information. Mm. Right,
okay,
so it's not.
I read it.
Yeah, so you come in, and it says cat's call, proceed to these coordinates. And it gives you coordinates that would be in the, if you're looking at the map of Jinling. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have that, you might want to grab that open. These coordinates would be in the parsec of space that's directly south of Certilob.
In Frazadia?
No. In the one that's immediately south of Certilob.
Oh, so the hex that's immediately south of Certilob.
1419.
And it would be, looking at the map, assuming the top of the map is north, it would be like north east.
I misunderstood. I thought you meant the subsector south, but
the parsec south.
The parsec, okay. Okay, yeah, I misunderstood. I have a question. What does the triangle mean on the map?
Right. I think the triangle are scout stations.
Okay, because it's not on the key, so I was just wondering.
Yeah, that's. I had to look that up too, and I can't. It's been such a long time since I read it. Because each symbol, like if you look at Gusadona, that's got two stars. That means a research base.
Oh, okay.
The triangle, I'm pretty sure, means a scout. I think the star means a naval facility.
Okay.
And the dot means a spaceport of some type, I think.
Okay.
I think.
Dexon, we can top off fuel tanks, or we can jump now, but we've only got enough fuel for 2 parsecs of jump. So we could jump to this position south and jump back to Sertolov. Normal protocol, I'd want to top off fuel tanks and make sure we've got a range in case of an emergency.
Yeah, because there's anything particular interesting about that particular parsec?
Yeah, it's a blank spot on my map.
Right, there's nothing there.
Right, yeah.
That's why I think we might want more gas. I tell Daxon, is this from your benefactor? And is this somehow, do you recognize this message or does somebody sending us something?
And there's also like some other stuff in there too, like verification stuff at the bottom, and she reads that. She says, yep, that's from him.
Cool. Awesome. I type on the console and it comes up on Tassan's overhead eye display that says capture this message and try and figure out where it came from.
Okay.
All right, you want to give me a quick electronics comm check?
Yep. Oh, that's going to be unsuccessful. So that's a 3 plus 2 is a 5.
Oh, you only need a 6. So
well, I rolled a 2 and a 1, so
you get the impression it came from something in system.
Okay.
Makes sense, because you can't send stuff multi-sublight unless you had a repeater.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just tell him it just I'll message you back saying it just came from in system from what I can tell.
Okay, if you locate the source, let me know.
Not with cool. That rule.
Perfect. So, Daxon, he wants to top off gas. Let's hit the spaceport dock for about 3 hours, top off the fuel, and get off.
According to this message, we need to leave now. I wouldn't worry about gas, though, Captain.
Can I speak with you privately?
It's your ship.
I take her back to the hydroponics bay, and my eyes kind of look at Tassan's flowering plants, and I'm like, dang, he's really growing those big. Okay, why do we not have to worry about getting gas? I'm really nervous about going into a sector with only one jump left in an emergency. We can only barely get back to Sertolov.
The verification code of that message is we're meeting him there.
So you have gas?
He'll take care of it. Trust me. He'll have extra.
Okay. I will trust you and my crew's lives.
Really, I would say it's trust him. He does these things as tests of trust, typically.
Well, I don't know him, so it's hard to trust someone I don't know.
Understandable.
Awesome. We'll go back to the bridge then.
But on my honor, even though you don't know me that well, you'll be taken care of.
Okay. Well, Daxon, thank you. I'll head back in the bridge. Feel free to go back to your quarters, and I will let you know once we plot the jump.
All right. So she heads back.
So I go back into the bridge. I put the private circuit back to Ruben and everybody, the four of us in the bridge, and say, this mysterious benefactor apparently has fuel, or she claims she'll have fuel when we arrive there. We have enough fuel to actually make a jump back to Sertolov. So Tassan, I want you to plot 2 nav courses, one into that area to these coordinates, and then a second one so we can jump immediately back here to Sertolov, and I want it to be available so we can use it immediately. So if we are threatened or something's going on, we could literally jump as quickly as possible. So I would plot as course as fast as you can.
Real quick on fuel, you don't consume fuel equal to your jump tonnage when you jump? Is it just the amount of
you do? It's times the parsecs. So we have enough fuel for 4 parsecs of jumping. So we've only used 2 because we went from Cavil to Sertolov.
Yeah, I believe you. It's just been such a long time since I've looked at that specific thing.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. Continue.
So, just plot an in and out. And then, gentlemen, just keep your eyes peeled. I don't know who this benefactor is. We don't know who he is. Obviously, he's paid us good money. Hopefully, this thing will get resolved.
As a Mason, as a point, can I only plot a jump out as soon as we hit that parsec?
Yeah, you can't pre-plot one out because you need to be part of the plotting. It is based on your current location.
That's what I figured. So basically, you're saying as soon as we land, start plotting one back.
Yeah,
which I can do.
As soon as we get in.
Yeah, got it.
I didn't know if you could pre-plot, but that's cool.
I think if you've got certain AI programs or computer systems in your bridge, you can probably set that up. I have to go back and look through it. But
you have to sign.
You do have to sign. But
make it so number three.
But I'm pretty sure it has to be plotted from in system.
Okay, cool.
So
once we're ready, we'll run the nav and we'll run the jump.
All right, let's roll them dice.
Do I start it?
Yeah, you do. Yep. You do your astrogation check.
The ship gives me a plus. Let's see, it's a 10 plus my education makes it an 11. 12. Does the ship give me anything, John?
I'm checking.
I can't ever remember that. I need to write that down somewhere.
And if you have, do you have astrogation as a skill?
Yeah, I have it as a 1. Yeah, so that's how I'm up to a 12.
And then it's normally a D6, 10 minutes, but you can speed it up and make it. Your target number is a 4, so you can speed it up if you want.
Well, I already rolled before that, so.
We wouldn't need to speed it up.
Yeah, and it's only a minus 1 because you're jumping 1 parsec.
Okay. My roll is at a minus 1?
So. Yeah, because it's whatever the distance jumping, and you're jumping 1 parsec.
All right, then I'm at an 11 without the ship. Give me any.
Oh, you got it. You're good.
I think it's what he did. The target number's 4, so he did it by 7.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then you would divert your power, and then the jump drive gets fired up with the engineer J drive check.
Yep.
That's also a 4 target number, and it's modified by the effect of your astrogation check. So basically, don't snake eye it, and you're going to succeed.
11.
The pause made me think, oh, he rolled snake eyes. There's that dramatic pause. All right, so you jump. Everything goes according to plan, and you got another week of jump. I'm assuming we're going to hand wave past that jump, right? Into the next.
Would like to role play every hour.
Hey, you know, you get an opportunity. You guys jump into this new space, and you get there.
Do we get a week of training?
Yes.
Ooh, I'm playing. I took the Where's Waldo book for the next 8 weeks.
Are you doing recon? Nice. Very nice. Yeah, you get a full week of training for that jump.
Nice.
I'm practicing persuasion, so I keep walking and I'm trying to convince you guys of stuff the whole week. Like, and it's just not working. It's like not good.
Nice. Okay, so you get in the system, and there's nothing there. Like, there's no sun, there's no planets, there's no gas giant. It's just empty, dead space. Okay.
And Daxon's on the bridge with us when we come out of jump, so we're all sitting there.
Yeah, I immediately start plotting a jump back to Sertolob.
So you start plotting a jump, and as soon as you get in system, you guys get pinged with the incoming communication.
It's the same text thing?
No, this is voice.
Oh. Hi, this is Captain Kane. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, Captain Kane of the Cat's Claw. This is Gergic. Please proceed to these coordinates of this sector. Parsec, we will meet you there.
And I look at Daxon.
Daxon says, that's where they'll be. You might want to check those coordinates, though. Gergic has a bit of a humor.
Okay, Tassan, check the coordinates. Here's the coordinates if you want to put them to the nav.
Okay.
They're directly
below.
It's
in the sun.
They're directly below you by, like, 20 feet.
Oh.
Jadis, take us down 20 feet.
Yeah.
We'll be right where he said to go.
So, Gergic, you know, you let the comm open. He kind of laughs. He goes, yeah, we're right here. Just stay where you're at. We'll pull you in. And your ship starts to move. And you can fight it if you want to, but the ship starts getting pulled towards the vessel. And as it comes in view of the window, this thing, it dwarfs your ship. It is gigantic. I mean, imagine, like, the biggest ship you've ever seen in the fleet. It's, like, a minimum that big. It's very long. Its lines look very it's clearly got like a metal sheen, but it has almost like a more, or more, very much, I'm stumbling with this sentence here. It has a much more organic look to it. The lines of it, the shape of it looks a lot more organic than it does a traditional standard metal ship.
Does it remind us of Captain Cagle's ship technology? I don't remember the outside being distinctive.
No, the Captain's Cagle's ship looked like your kind of standard old beat up far trader.
Okay.
On the outside, yeah. This thing is, it is pitch black, and the reason you didn't see it is as you're being pulled into it, you make out the shape. It almost seems to perfectly reflect all of the space around it visually.
Well, it's like that ship with the prisoner ship. The one that attacked the prison ship? Remember that one?
Yes, definitely stealth technology. Yeah. We're never sure exactly what type, but yep.
And that's when you guys would probably realize that there's nothing attached to your ship. So whatever's pulling you in is probably some kind of beam. You get pulled into the side of the ship and then really close to it, and a little docking clamp comes out and takes hold, and the little docking port comes out and connects to your ship. And Daxon says, okay. She says, well, I guess in a moment it'll be welcome aboard, huh, gentlemen?
I guess so. I lean over to Admiral Roommate and say, see what I was saying about asking for the more money? Just got lots of money.
I show up and I bring Tassan his Harkoon costume, and I say, look your best, Tassan, look your best.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, I probably won't do that for this, but okay. All right.
And Captain, do you want this one to secure the docking clamp as a precaution? We do not know these people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I have, yes, absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going to go to the docking clamp, Mason. Or I presume maybe there's like a little, it's sealed, right? So it, you know, syncs up with our...
The docking clamp, there's like actual like clamps that have like grabbed onto your ship.
Yeah, but there's, you said there's umbilical that came out attached to our ship.
And there's the little port that you walk through. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to go to that with my assault shotgun. I'm not going to have it out, but I'm going to have it like slung. And I'm gonna make sure it's clear. I mean, Jeff probably knows it's clear, but I'm just checking.
Yeah. No, totally. And you guys can see outside of the window and looking at your radar, which it's only coming up now because it's basically right on top of you. The thing is as close as it can physically get to you without actually touching your ship.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's not this huge gap between the two ships. Yeah.
Is there a window in the airlock?
Sure.
Okay. So I'm going to check the airlock, make sure no one's holding guns.
No, nobody's holding guns. There's actually, you just see another door. But okay. It looks the same as the rest of the ship you saw at the window. That kind of like sheer reflective black that's almost not there.
So I'm going to go through the front door, seal the one behind us, and then open the other door if it'll open.
When you get out there, the door doesn't open, but there's no panel or anything.
Okay.
You just get out there. About that time, Daxon shows up because she left to go grab the artifact.
Yeah.
And she comes back up and she says, he's waiting for everybody to get here.
This one wanted to clear the hallways before the rest of the crew came out.
Oh, like on that ship? Are you assaulting the ship?
No, it's a defensive posture for the crew leaving it into an unknown vessel.
Oh, okay. She says, hey, sir, should they like to, the security officer would like to check the place out first. And then the door, it almost like melts away.
Whoa. So like, never seen this level of tech before melt away?
No, you've never seen this level of tech before. And standing before you inside about 6 feet in the hatch is a little 4 to 5 foot creature. And he's like milky white. His body looks almost like a teardrop or like those little kind of short onions, the bulby onions that have like the green that comes on the top, mm-hmm. Kind of comes up. He's got two very short and stubby legs. And two somewhat similar arms, not quite as stubby, coming off the side, just about midway up the teardrop of his body. He has two tiny beady eyeballs on the stalk part of his body. And he's standing there, and he picks his hand up, and he goes, greetings.
I'm just going to stare at him with a partial mouth open, because it's alien races aren't incredibly common. Like, there's the known ones, but this is an unknown one, correct?
Oh, yeah, you've never seen this thing before.
This one gives you greetings.
And if that's when you realize he has no mouth that you can see, but you still heard him say greetings. It's like, you are welcome aboard the vessel. I have been instructed to take you to the bus.
Is he armed?
Just his arms.
Okay.
Bad joke.
So he is armed. I shoot him. No.
There's no weapons that you can see on him. He's just standing there.
This one asks for a moment, and I just okay. turn around, walk back in.
We will proceed when the rest of your friends arrive. And there's something about him that you see him, and even though you're kind of an aggressive species, you know, and you're coming in there ready to defend if possible necessary, you see him, and it's hard to stay in that posture. You just kind of feel at ease to some extent.
Yeah, so that makes me really uncomfortable.
Yeah, you can wrestle if you want to, right? But it's, you don't feel in danger. You feel weirdly like, oh, I'm okay.
Yeah, so I'm not trusting this. And plus, I'm weirded out. This is not my comfort zone, so I'm going to immediately leave and go to Kane Captain to go, and I'll find him.
We won't call that a retreat, though.
No, I just by the teardrop cleared creature. The area as appropriate, and then I left. Kane Captain, there is a strange, unique alien that is very unique. And you can see I'm a little uncomfortable.
You say strange, unique alien. What race is it?
Unknown.
What do you mean unknown?
Looks like a vegetable. talking herbivore food.
I bring up the video camera on the outside of the ship. Do I pick up any footage of this creature in the airlock?
Sure, you've got a camera in your airlock that can get a decent angle, and you can... Maybe you don't see the very top of his head, but you see most of him. And the same thing, this like kind of teardrop-shaped creature that's 4 to 5 feet in height. He's got two short stubby legs, those two arms, looks milky white. He has two beady eyes, and he's just kind of standing there. And Daxton's standing there with him, and Daxton seems to be talking to him. And he's, you know, he'll motion and stuff like that. And they're just standing there waiting.
She could have warned us, King Captain. But he does not seem to be a threat.
I don't know what's going on, and I'm very uncomfortable, and I do not believe we should leave the ship unguarded. And so I think we need to decide who's going to go with Daxton and who's going to stay here, and we probably need to decide that as a crew.
Buzz is there, because he's very interested in what's going on, too.
I volunteer to stay.
This one can guard the ship, or I can be a guard for the crew members. They seem to be fine with this one carrying a weapon.
And Buzz was going to suggest he'd be willing to stay too.
But to be frank, Captain, the door melted in front of me.
What?
Like, disappeared. Like, and it was out of a movie. I'm assuming this world has movies, right?
Movies exist.
So... that level of technology means we probably can definitigate it even if we wanted to. Would be this one's assessment. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm not very comfortable either. Ruben, if you're okay, then have you and Buzz stay, and then I'll keep you in comm the entire time. And if you lose comm with us, if you hear nothing from us in less than 2 hours, I would disconnect.
Hi, Captain. And tell our benefactor, greetings from the Harkoon, and I have brought a gift for him or her.
Do you want me to carry that gift to him and then have you come in when we get there to give him the gift?
It's not a gift you can carry. So I will present it when, if it looks okay, and you call me over.
Okay, that's perfect. That sounds good, gentlemen. Basic armaments and equipment.
Very good. I'm a bit nervous about this.
I'm putting my carapace armor unless someone's otherwise.
I'm smiling as you put it on.
I'll do that as well, just in case.
In that case, I put mine on too, so at least we look like we're Twinkies.
Just wearing my normal trench coat with my Diplo vest underneath. I'll put my stun fist in my pockets of my trench coat and have my goggles on. And I'll grab the field medical kit and sling it over my shoulder, like my backpack.
I keep waiting for you to leave the ship and go, and I put on the helmet from my armor.
I would do that.
I was hoping you'd greet this super advanced alien tech with plate armor on. I think that would impress them.
He's gone so far back in time, we don't know how to deal with this technology.
That's right.
Adis, do not forget to take a copy of your scriptures in case you want to share a spiritual message.
It's right here. It's a small copy, but I'm mainly taking it for me in case I never come back. But anyway,
though I am not of your faith, I know you're always looking to try to get some converts. So,
yep. First, I have to deal with the theological ramifications of. What is effectively for me first contact. Okay, I'm doing some soul searching here.
I've got my auto shotgun slung on my back, and then I've got a couple smoke grenades in my belt.
All right.
We are not the trusting sort.
Not at all.
Not with a brand new ship that he's clamped against his ship, and he's got tech that's three times more than us, and our ability to defend ourselves is very low.
Has the GM done something to earn this distrust?
Yeah, we have no idea who this guy is.
That's true. All right, so when you guys get to the docking bay there?
Yep.
Okay, yep. So you guys get there, and Daxon sees you guys, and the little teardrop/onion guy sees you, and he waves his hand, and you all hear, "Greetings! Welcome aboard."
Greetings, I am Captain Kane of... the Terran stock, and you are?
You may call me Finn. I'm afraid my actual name would be unpronounceable by your kind.
And hello, where Finn. Are you from, good Finn?
I am from a very far and distant star. Beyond the current capacity of human technology to reach, unfortunately.
Is it in this galaxy?
No.
Oh.
We were a friendly species, though. And I am only but a one of handful of my kind aboard this vessel. I have been chosen to be here as a representative. I see we are missing the Harkoon Reuben Glazer. I have been instructed that he must also come with us.
I apologize, but we are uncomfortable. We do not know your benefactor. We do not have any relationships with you. And while we appreciate the good faith, we feel more comfortable if we have a few of our crew members on board our ship in case of emergency.
Well, understandable, but I assure you it will not be needed. There is no harm intended to you of any kind aboard this vessel, or in this entire parsec, for that matter. But my specific instructions were that he must join us. You may leave the Buzz behind. He is not particularly interested in meeting him at this time.
Song giggles at the Buzz.
Perhaps it's a sign of good faith. If I knew where we were going and who we were meeting, that might be a good start. Relationships start with trust.
I am taking you to meet the one you know as the benefactor. We call him here the Broker.
Whoa.
He heads the entirety of our organization. You will be meeting him in his particular... It's not really a bridge. He calls it his office. And now behind him, there's a hallway that extends out. It's very well lit and very clean, and it's kind of that like very white sci-fi white, you know. But the hallway is shaped hexagonal, and along this top strip it's very textured. The walls smooth everywhere else, you know, with various panels here or there for stuff. But the ceiling is very textured.
Got it. I'll be right back. I'll speak with Reuben.
Certainly.
I head back. I go back in the back. Reuben, take the remote control system. I'm going to put the ship on remote. So Buzz is not a good pilot, and he's not a good engineer, but I can use the computer system and the remote to do some stuff if we absolutely need it. Hopefully that will not come to it.
Sure.
Hopefully so we even have calm inside the ship.
It looks clear. Right? Is that why you're bringing me on?
I'm bringing you on because the benefactor says you need to be there, and they apparently know our names, and they know about Buzz as well, which is even more concerning.
That could either be very good or very ominous. I'll be prepared either way.
Cool. Don't forget your gift.
We'll split the difference. It's ominously good.
Very good. I accompany the captain on board.
All right. So when whenever you guys come back around, when you guys leave, the Finn is standing there, and Tassan, Ta'ari, and Jadis, he engages each of you a little bit in conversation. And it's very much like your standard, very polite conversation, getting to know you. And the more you talk to him, the more of this kind of calming sense that you get. And this idea that, I don't feel as threatened. Now, you role play that however you want to. I'm not going to tell you to leave your guns behind, but
it just makes me more angry.
Yeah, it's like it's a counter effect.
Yeah, if I think I normally wouldn't think of, mental powers, but since we all just got some, I'm immediately going there to some degree, and then I'm very angry at someone manipulating me in this manner. Trying to lower my guard so they can attack me.
Gotcha.
So you see, my posture is very stiff, and I'm, fighting it.
Gotcha. And the creature actually responds to you in a similar fashion, but one that's appropriate. That it's not like I'm challenging you, but it's like acknowledging a worthy warrior kind of thing, You know, like this warrior culture, like they size each other up and like, okay.
They look at me in the eye.
Okay. Yeah. And he does that, and it's out of, your character might realize this, how he responds up to you, but it's almost like it's an intentional recognizing you're not like the people. So you need different type of comfort. Or reactions to feel comfortable, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure how to take that. So I'm still suspicious.
Oh, that's fine. So about that time, Ruben and Captain come around. He goes, excellent. Your weapons and armor will not be necessary, but you are permitted to bring them aboard if you wish.
Thank you for your hospitality.
This place looks great. I mean, it's really nice and clean, and I'm excited about this.
We have a full crew to... A full complimentary crew to handle all of the necessary repairs and maintenance of this vessel for lifetimes beyond my own. And if you will follow me now, and he turns around and he walks, and he's got this little waddle as he walks because he's got these short legs. Everything about this creature is cuddly and I just want to pick him up and sit on the couch and hold him like a big teddy bear kind of thing. It's part of it, I'm sure, you guys being that you have psychic powers are wondering that question. But also, just his appearance is as unthreatening as you could possibly imagine.
Right? He said he was speaking without any visible.
Right, you don't see any mouth
or whatever. So in my mind, as he's waddling away, I just think I like you, little onion man.
You are not the first to call me this, but I've learned to dismiss as a sign of endearment, or at least that's how I choose to take it.
Well, I'm glad you can hear me when I think.
I'm sure it is not much unlike how some humans would refer to you as a dog, or how you must be their best friend.
I suppose so. Although, watch out for the one they call Tassan.
Oh.
You don't have any fur, so you're probably okay.
Oh, yes. No, my species evolved to lose fur long, long ago.
He'll be
and you guys are... He's, as he's taking through this ship, you see other people passing by, going about business. They've all got variety of, visors on that have some kind of HUD or devices, and they're all interacting, doing stuff. At one point, you guys turn a corner, and there's along the roof, it's at a T, right, intersection. Along the roof, all of the doors you pass open up like irises, okay? One of these doors, only the top portion of the iris opens up, and crawling along the textured part of the roof is this 4-foot-long centipede-like creature. It's got pinchers in the front, and it's got some claws on it too, and it's carrying some stuff, and it's just moving along down the.
I growl.
You growl.
Yeah.
It kind of keeps going, and it's front. The front, maybe foot of it, isn't on the ground. It's carrying whatever it's carrying, and it is here. Like makes a bunch of clicks and squeals as it goes by and looks at you. Another one is coming the other direction. They stop and they click and squeal a little bit, and then they keep going and. It's clicks and squeals. So you have no idea if it's aggressive or not. But given your interaction so far, probably not.
Does the onion creature look, I'm assuming it looks at ease?
Anyway, he, as far as he's concerned, is just nothing going on. It's that kind of body language is oh yeah, this is just a normal day in the life, right?
I'm going to have the universal translator on in the comm that I've got and see if it translates any of the clicks and squeals or if it doesn't recognize it.
The translator will come back. It will give you a broken translation. And we'll say, this is similar to the Varstein species, with the base located on Sebsea, where you bought your jump drive from. But it's also different enough that it's hard to determine. I can only make out bits. I would describe your conversation at best as just rudimentary conversation about work.
Gotcha.
Something about hydro spanners and density meters. That's when Finn he's like, oh yes, this species are particularly useful as they can get into all sorts of tiny crawl spaces that others cannot. And they are, despite their appearance, quite adept engineers. Very capable.
Ooh, my ears perk up. Oh, yes. I would like to speak to them sometime. I am an engineer.
They also have a decent sense of humor. When you growled at him, what he clicked and back at you was basically, whoa, let's slow down there, good boy. Or at least his species equivalent.
I'm at ease again.
Ah, and here we are. And you're standing in front of a door, and it opens up. He says, this elevator will take you to the broker's cabin. Or office, as he calls it.
Thank you, Finn.
All right, Finn, thanks.
Certainly. Enjoy your visit. And then he walks off. But Daxon goes off to... She goes, gentlemen, I need to go take care of some other stuff as well, so...
I assume we'll talk to the benefactor, but our mission will end here? Or is that the conversation for him as I look to Daxon?
That will be up to him. But if I know him, if he's meeting you, he probably has something else he wants to discuss. Future employment. I'll be joining you in a moment. I just have to go finish this one little thing.
Perfect.
Okay, well, I'll miss you, Daxon. It was nice getting to meet you, and I just wanted to send you like a or something, you know.
She gives you a wink. She says, you too good.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get, because you have a HUD too, right?
Yeah.
You get message received, and it's just her contact card.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll send it right back. I'll send mine.
like you're waiting on the send button.
Yeah.
You got her numbers, man. That's the hardest part.
She's got the digit.
You got to wait a day before you text back, man. If not,
Son has no idea about that.
He didn't read the message. He just gets a beam. He's like, from Daxon, send.
Right. He's going to start blowing her up.
I give her mine. I give her, you know, MySpace, Facebook,
right, yeah,
all that stuff.
Right, that's right.
Number, my mailing address.
That's right. She gets everything. So
Space Twitter. You get into this elevator, and it just takes off. And you can feel it's accelerating really rapidly, but it's just like a fraction of a second, and then it stops. I mean, you're in the elevator for maybe 3 seconds. And there's little, you know, in the sci-fi shows, there's like little lights that go by. They're like flying by, right? At crazy speed. And then it stops. It opens up into this room. Before you are standard couches, chairs, and things like that. Like a little seating area. It looks... If there was a limit to what money could buy and furniture, this is what you would have, right? There's no lights in the ceiling anywhere. In fact, you can't even see the ceiling. There's just ambient light all around where this furniture is.
Hmm. All right.
And then the pathway from the elevator to where the furniture is also lit up.
All right.
Ooh.
Do we still have a feeling of pleasantness, or has that disappeared when Finn walked away?
So it disappeared in the sense that you can tell that there's no longer an acting calming that's being directed at you, but it didn't disappear that you don't suddenly go, whoa, I feel really tense now. Now I feel danger, right? Like the idea is he's probably was like an ambassador meant to kind of calm people in this, what is most likely a very unsettling, terrifying moment, because you've seen two species that you've never seen before already.
We freak out and shoot the furniture.
Right. So like, so he's kind of obviously there because he's meant to calm people. And so you can feel that presence gone, but you don't feel suddenly alarmed. The rest of the room is like pitch black.
Does my Harkoon sniffer sense give me any extra input from the room?
Give me a recon. Anybody who wants to give me a recon can.
No, I just started playing Where's Waldo. Oh.
That still can't find him. A double six. Mm. So a 14.
Ooh, nice. So you barely can get the sniff of somebody else in there. Mm. Even based on the muskiness of it, you probably think it's most likely a human. But they seem like they're at the other side of the room.
I whisper that to the captain and the group, whoever's nearby.
Unless you guys left the elevator, you're all standing side by side in the elevator.
Mm-hmm. Okay, someone's in here on the other side of the room. Probably our benefactor.
And then the other side of the room, you hear, "You have a good sense of smell, Mr. Glazer."
Ooh.
Please.
I don't see him, but I raise my neck to him in the traditional Harkoon greeting.
Mm, well met. Please join me. Would you like a drink? And there's a, next to the seating area, it just illuminates suddenly, and there's like a full-fledged wet bar. Like the whole 9 yards.
I will have 8 yards.
All right, so the other four of you can split 4 yards of alcohol. And the room slowly starts to illuminate a little bit. And you can see in the back there's a desk and a slightly elevated, like maybe a foot thing. So it's just a different elevation. It's a large desk and there's a chair. And you get the guy sitting there. And the room starts to illuminate a little bit. And he says, I usually start this way in this particular room because it can be disorienting for people who have never experienced it. If you're okay with, if you're confident in your spatial orientation skills, I can fully illuminate.
I'd like to sit down first before you do something.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah, okay. I feel like I need a Dramamine or something.
It won't be that bad. At least not in my experience.
Is there a bartender at the wet bar, or is it just serve yourself?
It's just serve yourself.
I go and do they have any Harkoosh? That's the Harkoon tequila.
They do, actually. And they even have Harkoosh. They have another version of Catal drink. They've got he's got some earth wines on there. In fact, the captain, if you're looking over there, there's actually an earth wine from the 1800s.
Oh, I'm pouring that.
And it's unopened.
I'll ask, pour that.
Anything at that table, gentlemen, is for you to partake in.
I will take my shirt and start pouring.
And you can hear steps as he, because you hear him walking closer.
Have any milk?
In the refrigerator.
Oh, great. All right.
And there's a, you know, those little like small milk cartons that are individual?
Right.
There's one in there. There's even a couple chocolate milks.
Oh, I'll definitely need the chocolate milks. Take two.
Yeah. If you are now ready, and he comes out, he walks into the alignment, and it's a middle-aged looking fellow. He's got gray beard, stubble beard. He has, you know, well-coiffed hair, and he's wearing, again, like the furniture, he's got a suit that if he was at the upper limits of what you could possibly be bought as far as quality, he's wearing it. He stands 6'2" tall, and he's got a violet eye, and he's got a green eye.
Whoa.
And the green eye has a slight glow to it, similar to what Daxon had.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Gentlemen, I am the broker. And it is, I am very pleased to have met you.
Nice Please, to meet you.
Have a seat, and I will further illuminate and give you the opportunity to partake in why I find this to be my favorite place on the ship." And he goes and he sits down.
Yeah, I'll sit down.
So as you guys all get your drinks and you sit down, the whole room starts to illuminate, and that's when you realize you're in a room that's a dome. And the dome is entirely glass. Like you were look, there's no visible wall. But what you're looking at isn't the same space you were in when you came into the ship. There are two suns. There's like a blue one and there's a red one, and they're circling each other. And they're in that death spiral where two suns are working their way towards a collision.
Whoa.
Yes. I love this room. And all around you are stars everywhere you can see. If you look close enough, you can barely make out like a hexagonal pattern in the dome.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, there are no lights anywhere. There's just...
So it's basically like a holographic projection or some kind of a projection.
Oh, no. Do you ask that out loud?
Yeah.
Oh, no. This is where we are now. We've relocated since I picked you up.
What?
How did
what?
You jump here?
Oh, well, some people have referred to it as a type of slip engine. I think that'll do the trick. It involves the complicated process of folding space-time, so that instead of having to actually jump, you just drive through a portal, so to speak. And then there you are.
Can I make a astrogation roll to see if I can figure out where we are?
Go for it.
Oh, yeah. That's a really low number.
So you don't recognize...
There's snake eyes and then the number I rolled.
You don't recognize the system. But he looks at Tassan and he says, don't recognize the stars, I take it.
Not in the slightest, but this room is so cool.
I wouldn't expect you to. We've jumped approximately 3 grand sectors worth of space. Yes. Now, I'm sure you have plenty of questions. So before I get into what I wanted to speak to you about, I thought I would give you an opportunity to ask. And that's where I think maybe we'll end and we'll pick up next time. Cool. So it's episode 36.
All right.
So Mason.
Hmm.
Oh, we didn't end it. Never mind.
No, yeah, we're still on the air. Yeah. So thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll pick up next
time. Bye-bye.
Happy Halloween.
Everybody. Happy Halloween.
Thanks. Thanks. Halloween, yeah. Travel around. So this has been a Dice Haven podcast. Learn more at dicehaven.com and please rate, like, and review us wherever you get your podcast. We really appreciate it. Any background music and ambient sounds you hear were provided by tabletopaudio.com, with the exception of our intro music, which is stock media provided by Pond5. Thanks for listening.